So good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to somebody and tell them Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yes, Happy Mother's Day. You know, I know, I was thinking this morning how great that we may have said to ourselves from time to time how great it would be if we had a manual on how to do life. I know that many parents felt that, boy, if there was just a manual on parenthood, I would know how to do this thing, and it would be great. Well, we know that there really is no manual, no said manual. But there are some ideas, some perceptions, some thoughts, some values or principles that we could actually put into a toolkit of sorts to help us along our journey, to help us in our encounters and interactions and situations and in our relationships. There's some things. So last week we started a series titled, What's in Your Toolkit? Right? What's in your toolkit? Because as we move along, we know if I just had this item, this tool, this thought that I could use, it would help me to move in my experience in a higher fashion. And so I'm thinking about what would I need for my encounters, or what would I need for certain situations, but most importantly, what would I need for my relationships? Because relationships are so crucial. One of my colleagues named Stretton Smith, he's made his transition, but some of you recognize Stretton from the 4T Prosperity Course. And Stretton says, in speaking about challenging ideas or thoughts, he says that if you have to swallow some frogs, it is best to swallow the big one first, right? Swallow the big one first. And that got me thinking about my message for this morning, that the greatest area that I can think of in life that also causes us the greatest challenges or the greatest aspects and experiences for growth are relationships, right? Doesn't matter what position you have, whether you could be a nuclear scientist, you know, or a physicist, or someone who does sanitation engineering. It doesn't matter your position. When your relationships are out of whack, everything, right? Everything is out of whack. So relationships are so crucial because that is the place where we discover and unfold our growing edges. It shows us so much about who we are and where we are and where we want to be and where we need to be. If you would think about it, we are always in relationship to or with someone or something. Nobody is an island. We are always in relationship to something, to someone. Because life is relationships. And how we engage them and how we experience them will certainly impact our lives. I was thinking about a newborn baby. Now, we know that an infant must have some type of physical relationship with another human being or it will not survive, correct? Somebody has to feed that child. But what is also interesting, even if the child has its physical needs met, if there is not an expression of emotional connection, if there's not that touch, if there's not that human relationship, that soul, that child will not what? Thrive. Right? It's been proven that part of our survival, part of our thriving is not just having our physical needs met, But there's something deeper that we must feel a different kind of being fed. That child has to be comforted on a different level so that they recognize that there's a sense of oneness, a sense of security, a sense of well-being. And without that, that child does not thrive and possibly may even die. So there's something about the ability for us to connect with one another on a deeper level, not just physically. And when that's missing from our lives, even as mature adults, we don't thrive as much as we would like, right? Because nobody is an island. Remember the film, what was it, Castaway? When Tom Hanks, he had nobody around him, but he had a little ball, but he developed what? A relationship. Did he not? A relationship to that ball. Because that's the nature of who we are and how we are created to be. Our relationships are very important. Life is relationship. Now, I remember last week when I was stating that I was going to talk about relationships and the importance of having that in our toolkit. Lynn Dyson, who was the worship song leader, rather, and he leaned over to me and he said, "You're going to talk about relationships on Mother's Day?" And I thought, well, maybe he thought that I had forgotten that this would be Mother's Day. And he was right. And so I thought about it for a minute, and I said, okay, Mother's Day. And then I said to him, I don't know if you remember, I said, but guess what? I said, the first relationship that we ever have is with our mothers. Right? You remember that? And he went, oh, yeah. Because I was like, okay, Lord, how am I going to bring the two together? And it was like, that's the first relationship that we have. It's the first vibrations that we feel, the first heartbeat that we hear. Not our own, but our mother's heartbeat. It's the first voice that we hear. When our mothers speak, there's vibration and we feel that, right? It's the first exchange of energy that we have. And this is all before we even leave the womb. So there's something very powerful. And in a world that is gone right, not in a world that has gone wrong, but in a world that has gone right, that relationship is our first and should be our first exposure to unconditional love. Unconditional love. And I'm aware that for many, the exposure to unconditional love is elusive and missing, perhaps. But I'm talking about the ideal. I'm talking about how that relationship was designed or is designed from a spiritual standpoint. That I'm talking about what the spiritual blueprint for a mother's love, what that might look like or what that can look like. And it might have the qualities of unconditional love. We know that it would have the qualities of strength and there's a vastness to a mother's love. We know that the qualities might be one that is contains comfort and nourishing and encouraging, right? To hear, like my mother was saying when we were coming over, that she misses her mother because she knew that she would always get a sweet word from her mother. We could always get some encouragement, right? There's something about that sustaining energy. A mother's love has a quality of being a visionary, because a mother's always going to see the best in her child and about her child, right? And I'm talking about the ideal now. You know? Because sometimes maybe they didn't see you, but in an ideal world, they would see the best and the highest for you, what you can become. They see that potential even when you can't see it for yourself. So we know that these are beautiful qualities that we would want to have, that never-ending love. It doesn't end. We laugh, my mother and I, because, you know, she loves to be, she's still a mother. And when she tells me things, I look over and I, you know, I want to say, I know. And then she'll go, well, that's okay, I'm going to still tell you because I'm still what? Your mother. Because that urge never leaves, right? To make sure that I know. To make sure that, be careful. Yes, I'm going to be careful when I go out. But somehow the need to tell me to be careful or to have a good time or to whatever it is, that doesn't cease. Whether you're 100, whether you're, you know, 20 or whatever, that energy is never ending. And yet, some of us aren't mothers, but we would like to still know that we have access to those qualities of being, right? We want to be able to have those qualities of nourishment, encouragement, vision, love, comfort, all those things. We want to have those qualities in our toolkit. Do we not? Yes, we want to have that in our toolkit. So I'm thinking, fear not, because there is a love that is even deeper and stronger and even far more powerful than a mother or father's love. And it is divine love. Divine love. Now, love is a word which has so many complex, you know, meanings to it. All kinds of love. And sometimes we usually banter that word around without much thought. Sometimes we use it as a catch-all phrase, you know, or as a way for helping people or making people feel good. Love you. Right? Smooches. Love you much. And that's okay, you know, but we use the word so lightly sometimes. But I'm thinking if we are going to use this whole concept of love as a tool that we will have in our spiritual toolkit, then we have to see it a little differently, right? We want to delve a little deeper into what it might be. We want to have a little bit more conscious awareness about this quality of love. Now, Charles Fillmore says this, and it's a little long. He gives several definitions for love, and this is, I'm reading from the Revealing Word. And it says, love, the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. It is the great harmonizing principle known to man. Then he says, divine love is impersonal, for it loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, nor with a return of love. Like the sun, its joy is in the shining forth of its nature. Then he goes to say that love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all is good. And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. Whoever calls on God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling on divine love. Divine love will bring your own to you, adjust all misunderstandings, and make your life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonious, and free. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. There's a whole lot going on in those definitions. And as I was reading them, I thought if we come away with anything from hearing those definitions this morning, if we come away with anything, it should be this. It should be with a deep understanding that love is more than a feeling. You know, they say, I'm hooked on that feeling. Love is more than a feeling. It is more than an emotional expression. It's a force. It's an energy of the divine. It is an aspect of God. It says love is that pure essence of being with the big B. It's the essence of being. And the big B with the big B is God. It's an aspect of God that is active and purposeful, right? It does stuff. It does creative and powerful stuff. Heals, harmonizes, joins, right? All of these things. It says that the power that joins, it doesn't say a power, it says the power. So love is the power. The power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. That's some great stuff. That's work, right? It's not a feeling, not just an emotion. It's an active principle that has a high purpose in the overall scheme of life itself. It brings everything together in harmony. And it's the greatest harmonizing principle known to man, which means we have access to harmonizing energy. Harmonizing energy. Now, the Lord knows that if there's anything that we need right now, it's some harmonizing energy, right? That having access to harmonizing energy would be a good thing to have in your toolkit, would it not? Because, you know, when two or especially when we're dealing with relationships and we discovered that we are always in a relationship to someone or something all the time. And so this is a good tool to have in our toolkit, because especially with two or more are gathered together. The scripture says, you know, there am I in the midst of them. That's the Christ. And I also say where two or more are gathered in, there is conflict. There is the disagreement. There might be difficulty, right? There might be inharmony, hurt, anger, misunderstanding as well. Right? It's all of that comes because the moment we are in relationship, we have a sense of self, and the other person has a sense of self. But we are used to and addicted to making sure that we have our sense of self be the predominant thing that gets met, the need that gets met. But then the other person's trying to get their needs met as well. And so we are coming together, not necessarily in harmony, but in harmony. Right? With a little conflict, with a little difference. Because there are no two people that are what? Alike. None. Twins, nobody is alike. So there's something special that what happens is that, you know, we have to understand that I am in relationship to the other. So therefore, I have to adjust my thinking and my ability to relate to the other. So what if you were to utilize love as a harmonizing force? What if you were to begin to not, instead of trying to convince the other or heal the other or change the other or get them to agree with you or to do something in that matter, what if you simply began to pull love out of your toolkit? To pull the power of love out into the experience itself. What if we were to do that instead of trying to change, instead of trying to, you know, to get it to move into our understanding? What if we were to actually use it as a tool, as a harmonizing principle? See, because when we try to fix it, heal it, work it, do it, it doesn't always come out that way. But what if we used it as a harmonizing principle, a tool that knows how to do its own thing, whose function is to heal and to harmonize the entire universe and everything in it? What if we were to allow that force, that power, to be expressed through us? Now, here's the thing. the power and the energy, because I said that love is not a feeling, but it is a what? A force, right? It's an energy of the divine. It's an aspect of God, an animating, active, purposeful energy of God, creative energy of God, harmonizing energy of God. So it's not a feeling. So here's the thing. This energy, this force, is not to be used on the other person. Because we might, even as metaphysicians, say, I know how to fix them. I'm going to pray on them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to affirm. I'm going to see them change and hold. You can do all that. But what we're talking about is something different. Because this thing, this force, this energy that is love, really is not to be used on the other person, but it is for you. It is a force that will heal, harmonize, transform you. It will heal, harmonize, transform, and lift up your vibrations. And here's the thing, when your vibrations are lifted up, when your energy field is elevated, then everything else around you is lifted up and elevated. Your perceptions will begin to change when that force of love that is in you begins to activate itself through you. All of a sudden, your perceptions will change and you will have access to greater wisdom, which means you'll make higher choices than when you would make if you were not activating this divine force in you. You begin to make higher decisions and your actions will take on a different quality than if you were not to come from that vibration, that force, that energy of love. Because when you do, everything changes. Everything begins to harmonize and move into a state of oneness and wholeness, because that's the nature of love itself. And what love? Pure love, true love, not Hollywood's version of romantic love, which gets us all mixed up sometimes. We go seeking that. I'm looking for my true love, right? But divine love, what that does is it will heal and harmonize and transform who? You. So we start with that premise. If things aren't working out here, start first with loving in here, activating that force. Now, if we're beginning to use love as a tool that's in our toolbox and our toolkit, we might have to move away from thinking about love as a situational expression. Meaning, you know, we use it for certain situations. I want you to do this, or maybe I want to receive this, so I'm going to love. I want my children to respond in a certain way, so I'm going to express some love to them. We try to use it as behavior modification, whatever. But we might want to move away from this whole concept of love, because love is a force, not a feeling. And so we might want to move away from this situational expression that I use it in certain situations. We want it to be an expression in us. We want it to be a force, a natural part of how we live, move, and have our being. We want it to be a part of our nature, our divine nature, right? The part of us that is our very being, right? Because when our very being is in touch with this force, the force for God, the force for good, because a force for God is a force for good, and a force for good is a force for God. And we want our being to be in touch, so we move and we live and we function from that vibration, from that energy field. So much so that our mere presence is one that heals and transforms and harmonizes and lifts up whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance. If it's healing that's needed, physical, then that's what love does. If it is healing in the relationship, then that's what love does. See, whatever situation, when we are through our very being, the expression of that, it takes care of everything. That's a powerful thing to have in your toolkit. But we have to transform our thinking about love. We need to stop thinking, oh, I want him to love me more. I want her to love me more. When we come from that space, that is not knowing who we are. That is not knowing who and how we are who we're created in and how we're creating. That is that we are love itself. We are love itself. And when we begin to then unleash this energy, this force that is within us, and we release it first within us as a natural and powerful energy, just as natural as when we breathe, love is coming out. Natural when we breathe, love is vibrating from us. When it becomes that kind of a natural force, then we become a force to be reckoned with. You understand? We become the force to be reckoned with. Not as a powerful thing, but love begins to do whatever is needed in that situation. So, that which is for you comes to you. You don't have to go out here and seek it and draw it and whatever. You know, and those of us that are single have to remind ourselves that sometimes we think, well, where is my love? Is it over there? Is it over there? Are you the one that's going to love me? Uh-uh. When you start vibrating at a certain level, that which is for you will come to you, and it'll come to you easily because you will be a magnet. You'll be an attracting force because part of the quality of love is what? It is a magnet. It attracts itself. It attracts itself. It said this in the definition. Divine love will bring your own to you. It will adjust all misunderstandings and make your life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonized, harmonious, and free. See, when you're in this vibration, you don't have to worry about trying to keep your love. Because if the love you have is so easily moved to sway to be somebody else's love, then that ain't your love to begin with. Not your love. So you don't have to, you can be free. We don't have to try to control the other. You don't have to try to manipulate them to stay, convince them. If they want to go, bye. But what we resist, we fight against that. No, don't leave, because that says we do not love ourselves. We have no value for ourselves, and we think, oh, only when you love me am I what? Lovable. So we must change and transform ourselves. I am a force to be reckoned with because I am love itself. I am love. I am lovable. I am that which I am, which is of God, and God is love. So we have to start thinking about it in a completely different way. And when we elevate that energy within our own being, we begin to attract to us that which is ours. So we have to practice getting in touch with this quality, this force, this energy, this essence within us, this being, this force of divine nature, divine love. The definition also said that divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, nor with a return of love. That's a deep one. Because part of us in our human condition, we want to be loved. But when you understand who you are as a spiritual emanation and expression of God, you recognize you are love. You don't have to try to get it. You simply have to be it. And in the being of it will draw to you that which is yours. Love attracts love. Light attracts light. See, so we're getting all this together. And when we touch this concept of impersonal love, at first that sounds like it's cold and it's distant. I don't want to have an impersonal love. It's not about that. It is about being love and loving all, loving itself, so that that energy, that it's not personal. It's not I love you, don't love you, like you, don't like you. But that's from the human conscious. That's a limited expression. When we become the vibration of love itself, we draw all of the good that is of God to us. people, places, things, circumstance, everything starts coming, and it comes to love. It draws its own to you. And all your life begins to unfold as it should. So that we're happy and healthy, because love heals. We're healthy, you know. We're happy, we're open, we're free. I can let you be you and you let me be me. And in the middle of that, where we have to work it out, love, if there's enough love there, that love will do the working out, because it will transform our perception so that I don't have to resist you, fight you, manipulate you. I just have to love you and you just have to love me. And when we get into that vibration, everything that is less than love begins to fall away and fades away into nothingness. Those little petty arguments disappear, right? So we're not arguing and struggling to be dominant. All that just fades away. Love is what remains. And we're not concerned with getting a return for love, because we understand the law, spiritual laws. As you give, you receive. As you be, it'll come. You don't have to seek it. You have to be it. So this is a very powerful tool to have in our toolkit, divine love. So I'm encouraging us to practice moving yourself into the consciousness of love, not love for something, but love itself, spending time activating the force and the principle and the energy of divine love in you. Get used to feeling that vibration in you, not as a sentimental feeling, but as an energetic vibrational feeling of God in you, moving you. And when you begin to do that, all of a sudden, the first thing that's going to happen, you will not only have a love for all life, you begin to love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, it becomes easy and natural for you to begin to love somebody else. Because it says this: love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all is good. And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. When we love, love will cause the quality of being, of love, to appear in everything. Everything. So that's powerful. Love is a force, but it's a cause as well. Our task is to simply let it be, to open ourselves, to let love be our guiding force. So I want to leave you with the question. This is the question. The question is not who are you loving, but how are you loving? It's not the who, it's the how. So let your love be divine. Namaste and blessings. Namaste.